If you go ahead and turn the book of Hebrews chapter 8, please. I mean, Hebrews chapter 11. Pastor, tell you about me. Old. And the only thing that makes me feel old is technology. I always get messed up on technology. Even up here a while ago, I forgot. I had my phone. And so I thought I was pushing the button to turn off the phone. And it just said, "I can't hear you. What are you saying?" And I get that Siri was, I pushed the button for Siri, and it was just, it messed me up. And then top it off last night, with I got a, for Christmas, I got one, it's called a Dot, I guess. And so last night I unpacked it, and I began to look at it, and I hooked it up. And you're supposed to be able to talk to it. And it's, you know, and it's supposed to, you know, answer you and do things. So I got hooked up, and I began to talk to it, and it didn't do anything. And I thought, well, I'm not stuttering, so it's not that. You know, I began to talk. I said, "Alexia," and I began to talk to it, and I got a little frustrated with my wife was in the restroom. I said, "Turn off that water, shut the door. I'm trying to work in here." So I began to holler, "Alexia," and at the top of my lungs, I yelled, "Alexia, come on!" And my wife walked in the room, and she walked in, and she said, "Alexa, what time is it?" It told her. I says, "What?" And I downloaded the app three times and erased it three times trying to get everything to work out. And she said, "Her name's not Alexia, it's Alexa." And so I said, "Alexa, what time is it?" She said, they told me. So then my wife laughed at me. She ought to have consoled me for my agony for the half hour. She just stood there and laughed profusely at me. So that's the only thing that makes me feel old sometimes is the technology. But last night I was worse than a kid with a temper tantrum. I just yelled real loud, "Alexia," and it wouldn't say anything. And the bad part, you go back, and I guess it records what you said. I'd play that on the phone, and then she'd answer the phone. The stupid thing wouldn't answer me, and I could not understand it, and I was frustrated. And now if I can teach that thing to stutter, I'll be in good shape, and I'll have it made. Tonight, people stand. I invite you to stand and read God's word tonight. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 8 says this: "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love you tonight. And Lord, we ask you might open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from thy law tonight. Lord, we thank you that all things written for our time were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. So, Father, Lord, I just pray you to accomplish your word in our lives tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You could have a seat. And then now, if you turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 2. The books of Acts, chapter 7, verse 2. A couple of months ago, I taught a series on the life of Joseph. Then when I finished that, I began to look at the life of Abraham. So the next couple times I preach, I think I'm going to preach on Abraham. And so tonight is just kind of an introductory lesson to that. The book of Acts, chapter 7, and verse 2. Acts chapter 7, verse 2, we usually hear that Stephen is preaching to the Jews, and he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. He said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall that we would tell you." So we see the first thing about Abraham is that he was called called of God to leave his country. He was to leave everything there. Now to turn on, if you would, the next verse over to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. I say tonight just a lot of verses, just a lot of introduction, laying a foundation for the lessons ahead. Book of Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. Back up to verse 28, 29. Genesis 11:28-29. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren; she had no child. And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went with them from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. And all of the days of Terah were 205 years, and he died. So we see that the Lord called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He went halfway and stopped. And then another look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. We hear that God gives Abraham a second call. He reminds him, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and that thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and thee shall the families of the earth be." So we see that here in Genesis 12 that God renewed the call, and then look over to Genesis chapter 20, verse 12. We see that his wife was his half sister. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 12. We see that Abraham's wife Sarai was his half sister. These are just introductory thoughts on Abraham. Genesis chapter 20, and verse 12. Says, and yet indeed she is my sister, for she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So we see here that he was he's married to his half sister. Now back over to Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, we see that Sarah was barren. By this time they are, I think, about 75. Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Because these are things that we already know, but just put everything in order here. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30 says, "But Sarah was barren; she had no child." So we see that if a wife was barren and had no child, then we look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. We see about this time that Abraham was 75 years old. And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So we see that when he left Haran, he was 75. Then look over Genesis chapter 25. We see that he had a long life, because Genesis chapter 25 in verse 7. Genesis chapter 25 in verse 7 said, "And these are the days of the years of Abram's life, which he lived 103 years." So we see his 75 of Haran, and he lived the age of 175. Then looking back at Genesis 12:10, we see that he had failures. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. We see he had failures. We see here that he forgot God's promise. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt, sojourned there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So we see that the Lord had told him that he would take care of him in Canaan, and he did not claim the promise. And then look at Genesis 12:11, we see that he lied. Genesis 12:11, it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarah his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is thy wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And then look at over back at our text verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Brother Alex in here? Oh, yeah, but you owe me, because I held the door while you nailed Grace a while ago. Okay, just remember that. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. that says this. Chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. Tonight, I just want to give like an introductory type lesson on the life of Abraham, the type of man that he was. Brother Alex, can you come up here now? Yeah, before we go, Grace nailed him, and then I held the door, and he nailed Grace. So he me. Okay, here is Abraham. He's in Ur of the Chaldees, at the land between the Tigris and Euphrates River. It's him by the Persian Gulf. So he's there, and God appears to him. He tells him to go over to the land of Canaan. So he starts out. He goes about 600 miles up to the place called Haran, which they think that his brother has started to place there. I think that's why they might have stopped there. But along with us, he's got his father and his nephew and all those things. So he left Ur and he came to Haran and he stopped there for a while. I can't find the Bible where it says how long he was there, but after a while his father died, and after his father died, God renewed the call again for Abraham to leave and to leave his family there. But then he left, but he took his family with him. Then they traveled about another 400 miles down to the land of Canaan. They got there. They got there for a while, and a famine came. And God had promised to take care of him there. But it just didn't seem like God was going to. So he went down to Egypt. He went down to Egypt, and while he was there, the Pharaoh saw his wife. He said, "Sarah," I said, "listen, man, you're good looking. The word there, I forget what the word, but I think it's praise. That's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. And normally when that few words used, it's used of God. But this time, Sarah's countenance was so special that it made her stand out in the crowd. And I'm thankful for our ladies, and I encourage you all to have a countenance and a walk with the Lord, so when folks see you, you stand out in the crowd. And just kind of a little thought. But he's over here, and so he lies. And then he is found out, and then he leaves. So let's go back over here. And then back over to Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith he went out by the promises. I begin to think, what is faith? It is simply acting on the promises of God. He left not knowing where he went. He did not know what lie ahead, but he went on the word of God. In 2017, it's my prayer that I will learn to grow in my faith. It's my prayer that I can take the study from Abraham and say, Lord, teach me. Lord, these things were written for an example that we can learn from them. I'll be thinking about the great faith Abraham had. We see here that they're in Genesis chapter 12. We see here that his faith didn't seem that big. It kind of went up and down. Yes, he left Ur, but he only went halfway. He was halfway. His father died, and God spoke to him again, and he went down to Canaan. But even then, he brought Lot with him. To Canaan, and a famine came, and again, he just kind of he folded, and we went out to Egypt. He got there. He got ahead of something else, and again, he faltered. Abraham was a man just like we are. A man that God called out to do great things, and he had to learn to walk by faith. He walked by faith. He failed. He had failures, but he grew in his faith. And this year, I'm going to God to teach me from the life of Abraham how God grew his faith. See, Bruce Lee, how do we know that he grew his faith? Okay, you stay right here. Okay, right here. Just stop. Face that way and look good. Okay. Okay? Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place where he should after receive inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look at all these here, and then look on down to Hebrews 11:19. Verse 19, according to that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in like figure. Here in Genesis chapter Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, where he's in Haran for the second call, his faith wavered. And then 40 or 50 years later in Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, God stepped in with the great test of faith. Said, Abraham, take Isaac, thy son, thine only son. Abraham, I want you to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah, a 3 days journey. I want you to go up to the top, to top of that mountain. I want you to build an altar there. I want you to lay your son on the altar. And I want you to slay your son. It's never mentioned that he wavered. It's never mentioned that he turned back. He simply got up and he left. He followed God's directions to a T. And people say, but sure, that was easy because he knew God, that God would according to Hebrews, that God would raise Isaac up. Still, it took faith. At that point, for far as I can find, no one has ever been raised from the dead yet. There's no record of anyone being raised from the dead. Abraham knew that God could and that God would. But yet, what faith it took for Abraham to go up that mountain. The same man that didn't have the faith to obey completely God's word back in Ur of the Chaldees, he began to learn, he got to Haran, and again he stopped. He didn't quite trust the Lord completely yet. Here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, verse 11, the story's there. Still he learned and he grew. And then in chapter 22, what a step of faith. God said, Abraham, take your son. 2017, God might have great steps of faith for us in our lives. No one here knows. I pray I'll be here at least to my birthday thing, because I got to get my ice cream. I pray I'm here at least to that night, get my ice cream. I pray I'm here next year and the year after. I pray that my body just kind of puts on hold and stops falling apart. I pray that things keep on going. But none of us know what this year holds. No one knows what this year holds. This might be the year where our faith is put to the test. This might be the year that God decides to call what's nearest our heart. Think of Isaac, the child of his old age. The promise, think how Isaac, when God could have called anything out of Abraham. All the sheep, all the oxen, all his herds, and all these things, Abraham, he could have asked for all those. But he touched the most precious thing in Abraham's life, the child of promise. The child he had waited for, and the promises of God was there upon his son. Up until now, when God had Genesis 1 through 11 had a worldview. Everything God spoke, everything about the world. But here in Genesis 12, it goes down to a family. It all hinges on Isaac. God goes from a world view down to an individual view. I think Romans chapter 1 is just a picture of what the world had done. So God set forth his plan. His plan for Christ to come. But there, all that hinged on Isaac. All the hopes and dreams of this old man. Everything hinged on his son Isaac, the heir of promise. And he knew that God could raise him from the dead. But yet, what faith it took for him to go up that mountain, to pull that knife back. Of course, we know the story that the angel caught his hand, said, stop. And there's a ram. But God provided a lamb in the New Testament. So what faith? What in our life in 2017 might God touch? There's no guarantee that I'll be here next year. I hope you can sit up there. Thank you. There's no guarantee I'll be here next year. I pray I will be. But what this year of God touches my body and says, Rick, I want this. Do I have the faith? Say, God, I surrender all. Lord, it's yours. My faith is not yet complete on Abraham, but I'm asking God to take Abraham's life and teach me from his failures and his successes how he grew in his faith. How he came to the point in his life where he could offer Isaac. How he could live for 100 years past his call and serve God. He was a man. He has failures. And God recorded those as well as his successes for us to learn from. My question this evening is this. In 2017, are we able to say, God, it's yours. God, I surrender all in 2017. Help me learn. Help me grow. Many times when I was younger, I was afraid to say, let go. I still struggle sometimes to let go and say, God, it's yours. The things in our life that we face is hard sometimes just to let go and say, God, you've got to do it. But in those times, we grew. I'm no spiritual giant. I'm not a great man of faith. I claim to be. But I know this. We serve a mighty God that loves us with all of his heart, with an everlasting love. He was nothing but good for us. And because we live in this old wicked world, bad things are going to happen. Our bodies are going to fall apart. Things begin to hurt. Things begin to ache. Things happen. But that's not from God. That's because of sin in this old wicked world. But because God loves me, he can step in and take those things and use them for my good and for his glory. Abraham survived his life because even though he's weak in the faith, he still trusted God's word. In 2017, do we trust God enough? Say, God, I surrender all. Lord, whatever you want, I surrender. Lord, you choose this or this or this, Lord, I surrender. Because we know that God will make all things for our good. We know that God will work these things out. Isaac, I mean, Abraham knew that God could raise Isaac. He knew he could do that. We know that God can do all things. Many times we know it here in our head. We know it in our head. We don't know it in our life. Faith is transported from my head. Lord, I have faith in you. I know your word is true. Lord, I know you love me. I know you take care of me. Lord, I know you'll handle these things. Lord, I know you, and I'm going to trust you. That's in my head. But Abraham started his first step of faith. When God called him from Ur, he stepped out. He went from his head to his feet and to his life. It came to the pinnacle there in Mount Moriah, the mountain of surrender, where he surrendered all. Let's ask God this year to teach us what faith is. And then let's take and apply that faith to our life. If God calls us to do something, and we don't know where or when or why, but we know he calls us to do something, then let's surrender to it and say, God, I'm like Abraham, I don't know where I'm going, but Lord, I surrender. Maybe God's calling us to do something, but we know there's consequences to it. And you know, but yet, let's just, what God asks, let's do. Lead the paper real quick, and I'll be done. I love my wife. Easy illustration. You just did it. You know what? As much as my wife hates to be up here for illustrations purposes, don't you? She loves me. But she loves me. I've yet to call her up from anywhere. And everywhere we've ever been, I've called her, used her for illustration. Half because it works out, and half because it aggravates her. But you know, but I love her. And I've yet to call her up where she's not came. She's always just come up. Now the mission. The other night, last night, we took some folks in, and they're getting the mission. This guy came in. He was different. His name is Jerry Angel. You know what? I said, honey, come over here. I want to introduce you to Jerry. She just walked over, took her hand. I said, hi, I'm Lydia. You know what she's doing? Simply following her husband. She had faith in me that I would take care of her, whatever happened. Well, do you know what all God asked of us? For us to follow. Have faith in Him that He'll take care of us. Abraham just followed God. He still faltered, and sometimes she still gives me the look. I can tell sometimes. She comes up sometimes, but she gives me the look. You know, sometimes Abraham's kind of like the easy. So he said, Lord, I'm going, but I'm not sure what you're doing. But she always comes. Sometimes I get the look, don't I? Yeah. Am I getting it right now? No, you're afraid. Everybody's watching now. Look, you sit down. What in my life is God speaking to us about that I won't let go of? Maybe something that we should do that we're not doing. Maybe it's something that we shouldn't do that shouldn't do that we are doing. Maybe it's just to come to the point when I kneel the altar and say, God, I love you. I trust you. Work in my life in 2017. Help me grow in faith. God's our shepherd. A shepherd loves the sheep. He watches after the sheep. Allows no harm to come to sheep. The shepherd is loves those sheep. Christ is our shepherd. He loves us. All He desires of us is I'll be found faithful. I told the kids the other day in school, Second Corinthians 4, it's recorded and stored that men be found faithful. But God asks nothing of me except to be faithful. When God calls me to preach, stutter, yeah, I don't care. God knows. God called me. I'm to be faithful. Am I to worry about am I to worry about how people sort of react first time they hear me preach? I shouldn't, but I do. But you know what? I still do it. Not to my glory, but to God's glory. And God bless us. So all God wants you to do this year, 2017, is to say, Lord, I will be faithful in every year of my life. Help me grow. And when God shows us what we should do, let's do it. When God shows us what we shouldn't do, let's don't do that. Let's decide 2017. Wouldn't it be great to come to the end of 2017 and be able to say of Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I can't say that about 2016. Some things my faith faltered in, I just didn't do, should have done. I'm praying in 2017 I will continue to learn and grow in faith, and I pray that you guys will continue to learn and grow with me as well. We all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.